excited about being here? I'm not quite sure. Hey, today's the day that we set aside to recognize seniors. And the way I do it, I have youth pastors all the time say, why do you do it so early? I said, because I know what the last month looks like for seniors and their families especially. So I take the calendar, whatever the graduation date, and I go back 1 month and I try to pick a day there so that the families can come in and enjoy, have an experience with their kids. I bring in a speaker, Daniel. I'll introduce him in a few minutes. But seniors, if you would make your way to the stage, you've got a list in your bulletin, but we've got a couple here, I think. Seniors, come on down. I knew Sierra was here, and I think Lily, come on down, Lily. Kirsten, is she coming? There you go. You come up on the stage. You got to come all the way stage. You don't get to just stand there. You got to stand up with me. So we got some that, you'll see the bulletin, there's some more names in there. They had some things that they couldn't make it. They had some previous engagements and situations. And so here's what I want you to do is to pray for the seniors. You got the list. Pray for their families too. You hear me? So if you've been a senior parent, you know what I'm talking about. All right, so these young ladies have all been through our student ministry. We've done camps together. We've done life together. And so we just wanted to set aside a day that we can celebrate them and their accomplishments. And so I'm going to put them on the spot. I just want them to share, what do you think your next plan in life is? If you don't know, say, I don't know. Well, that's how we pray for you. Sierra, you go first.
I plan to attend Florida State University, majoring in elementary education with a minor in hospitality event planning.
I plan to go to cosmetology school, an esthetician.
I plan to get my real estate license with my master's in business.
So now you know specifically how to pray for the next stage of life. Every year, it seems like every year I get here, I share this story. Part of a couple of social media youth ministry groups, and there's always this debate. What are you going to give to your seniors? What are you going to do for your seniors? And it amazes me, the responses. Let me just put it that way. So I'll hear this. I don't want to give them just a Bible that's going to sit on a shelf. And I'm like, what can you give better than that's a Bible? So they'll talk about words of encouragement books or motivational speaking books or whatever. And I'm like, man, just give them the word. And so what we do is we invest in them. And so I think I got it right. Make sure your name's on the front. We give them a Bible that'll help them for the next stage. So this is a study Bible. So the reason I do that is because God knows what they're going to face. God knows where they're headed. God knows what they need. And to where they find the answers is right here in the scripture, in the word. And so we want to help them on the next phase of their life and bless them and encourage them to be in God's word. So ladies, congratulations. Finish well. We're praying for you. We're praying for your parents. And I want to pray right now, okay? Father God, Lord, I come to you. I lift up these graduates. God, I lift up their parents. Lord, you know what they're facing. You know the last month is going to be crazy. And God, I pray that they would be solid in their walk with you and build that firm foundation. God, I pray for their families as they move to the next stage of parenting someone who is finishing up school and starting a career, starting a college or a trade or whatever it is that you've called them to do. God, it's tough as a parent to let go and to kind of support and let them make some decisions. God, I pray for all of our graduates, the Lord, that they would be grounded in you. God, I thank you for these, that you would just use them in their field to reach others for Christ. And may you be glorified with their lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, every year I pray about who I'm going to bring in and who's going to speak. And I brought in Daniel. I don't remember how many years ago. I've known Daniel. I joked around this morning. I've known him half his life. That's how old I am. My first introduction to Daniel was in 2004. At a previous church, I took a group of students to Snowbird. And we had a charter bus. and we were pulling into Snowbird. At the time, you pulled in, the youth pastor got out, you went down to the office, you checked in, and then you come back to your students to tell them where they're going to go, where the cabin's going to be, and whatever. And so I did that. This was my third time going to Snowbird. I get back on the bus to tell my students, I grab the mic, and out of the corner left of my eye, there's this young kid in the luggage rack that has no arms. And I'm like, what did my students do to this worker, and why is he in the luggage rack? And so Daniel's a great friend of mine. Like I said, I've known him since 2004. God has used Daniel greatly in my life. We started out, he was a counselor at Snowbird. Over the years, we've done ministry together. He's a great friend. He's an inspiration. Daniel has been used by God to speak into this this situation where, you know, is a life viable at birth? And who makes that decision? And so he's written two books. And so, Daniel, we've got a song, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. And you just come preach the word when we're done with that song, okay?
All right, Sardis, how we doing? Yep, all right, I hear you, brother. Man, it is good to be back with y'all. Man, it's always the greatest compliment when you get to come back to a church, because it means you didn't stink it up the first time. Thank you for encouraging my heart, and man, it is good to be with you guys on a warm day by God's grace. It is also good to be with you guys on this Graduate Sunday. So for you three graduates, man, congrats. You made it. Like you were almost there. Just get through this next month, and by God's grace, man, you get to step into what is next for you. I know for me, I remember my graduation clear as day, because, you know, interestingly enough, growing up, my parents were told by doctors I was never going to graduate high school. The anticipation was when I was an infant that. Mentally, I was going to have some issues, and then just physically, there's no way an armless guy can graduate high school. And so for me, man, it was a big day, you know, to walk that stage and to get that diploma. And I'll never forget, like, you know, they call my name, I'm walking across the stage, and I think, like, the setup was you had to shake a bunch of people's hands, which, you know, like that. That works out real nice. But, the good part for me was the first, like, three people in the line were all people that knew me. It was one of our teachers from our high school, two of our administration. But then the guy at the end was the superintendent of our county. Now, our county has, like, 500,000 people. So it's like, there's no way homeboy even knew who I was. And so we walked through the line, and I come up to him, and he's got that hand out, man. Like, he wants to shake the hand that is not there, and I'm just kind of like, just give me the diploma, bro. Like, come on, let's do this. And it's like, he would not give me the diploma until he shook my hand. And so I'm trying to save face with him. I'm like, pat me on the back. And he just smiles. And I'm like, pat me on the back. And my dude still keeps smiling. I was like, well, your funeral. And so I take off my shoe and I put my foot up there and I shake that man's hand. And so watch his eyes, like, almost pop out of his head. And then I just very gently, I grab my diploma with my chin and I just kind of, like, strut off the stage. Like, it's like, bro, like, take a hint. But it was so for me, man, not only to just have the accomplishment of graduating, but to have that little moment with our superintendent was definitely something that allows, I think, that graduation to stand out to me. But then I think, too, it's just like, from that moment forward, in view of trying to be a guy who's fitting into a world made for people with arms, who at times just felt out of place. And I mean, for me, from that point forward, I stepped into a Christian college. I was studying to go into student ministry. My eyes and my thoughts and my hopes, I mean, truthfully, it was just like, let me get through college so I can get to what's next, so I can get to what God actually has for me. interestingly enough, it's like even in that time that I was skipping over in my mind, because for me, college was just a means to an end. College was just an opportunity to get my diploma and start doing what I wanted to do, to start doing what God was calling me to do. But like, little did I know that not only God was going to grow me in this time and grow me up in some serious ways, but like, for God to use me, man, in that time, all 4 years of college, I worked at Snowbird Outfitters, like Tim was saying, and to watch how I had the opportunity to pour into students, to lead, man, scores of students to Christ. And then finally, after those 4 years, to get married, to step into student ministry, to now be, gosh, here we are now almost 16 years later after all of that. Like, church, for us, I think a lot of times if we're not careful, we get so focused on the plans and purposes of God for what is to come. For you seniors, like, I want to challenge you three, like, as you look forward to what's next, as you look forward to going to Florida State, to going to cosmetology school, to getting your real estate license, like, as you're looking forward to getting through all of those things, I want to challenge you to not miss what God has in front of you right now. And I mean, church, truthfully for us, like, I don't think we can afford to operate in a space where we're so looking forward either to get out of this season of life that we're in. We're so looking forward to, like, that next opportunity on the map, whether it's buying the house or having the kid or grandkids showing up or retirement or promotions or whatever the case is. Sometimes we get so forward-looking that we miss not only the grace of God that's present in our life, but we miss the purpose of God that He has for us to walk in right now. And so, church, this morning, what I want to encourage us in is if you have your Bibles, turn with me, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And again, if you want to talk about a God thing, that scripture that popped up on the screen that we read from 1 Timothy 4, I hadn't talked to anybody in advance that was what I was going to preach through, but here we are. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 12 through 14 this morning. And as we get ready to read, this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, a guy that God has used in massive ways at this point. God is using Paul to set up the New Testament church to the Gentiles. Paul is raising up leaders, planting churches, writing so much of the New Testament that we have today. And so Paul's writing this letter to Timothy, who he describes as his son in the faith. This is Paul's, like, mentee. This is the guy that Paul has poured into all these years, a guy that even as we read here, Timothy is a young man, but Paul's trying to encourage Timothy into what's next, into what he's stepping into. And so read with me in the Word of God, 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Let me pray for us. God, I just pray in these few moments, as we look at your word, as we look at your challenge to us through your word, your challenge to Timothy, God, I pray we would be people who are faithful to not only look forward to the plans and to the calling and to what you have next for each and every one of us, but God, may we also be faithful with the now. May we be faithful with where you have us now, with the relationships you have us in the midst of now. God, help us to be faithful for both now and the days to come. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just three things I want us to see this morning from this text. And the first thing is that for you and I, God is calling you to be the church of today without excuse. God is calling you and I to be the church of today without excuse. So it's like here in verse 12, like Paul's trying to encourage Timothy. He says, listen, don't let anybody look down on you or brush you to the side because you're a young dude. Because as Paul writes this letter, Timothy is in his 20s, which I know, listen, this day and age for a guy like Timothy to be a pastor in 2022, like it's not a big deal for a guy in his maybe like mid to late 20s to be a pastor. But back in Paul's day, that was a pretty serious issue. Like, young guys were dumb. Young guys didn't have a lot of wisdom. So why are you going to put them in a leadership role? That was the assumption of the day. And so Paul is saying, listen, man, like, God has very clearly called you. And as he even describes in verse 14, the elders of the church have called you out and sent you out. Like, God is clearly at work and he's moving. Like, don't be shoved to the side. Now listen, it's like for us to realize, it's like the grace and the work and the power and the Spirit of God, it's not on some sort of time delay system. You know, it's like for many of us in here, I would dare say a good chunk of us came to Christ in our childhood, came to Christ in our teens. Now, does that mean we're in a holding pattern until we get, like, to some sort of level of maturity? No. But I don't know why, and like, seniors especially, hear me out here. Like, I know in student ministry, there would be so many times where I would have conversations with my students, and they would be a little lukewarm on chasing Christ until they got to a certain point in their life. And for some, it would be, listen, I'll start taking this whole Jesus thing seriously when I graduate. Or I'll take this Jesus thing seriously when I graduate college, or when I get married, or when I get kids. And listen, like, y'all, in the moment that you're in right now, for those of you graduating, for those of you that are in student ministry, there is no better time to start chasing Jesus than right now. But I think also for some of us in this room, it's like we are waiting to fully jump into what God is calling us to for some moment in the future. We're waiting until we get our home. We're waiting until we have kids. We're waiting till the kids can take care of themselves, or the kids move out of the house and get their own life. We're waiting till we retire, till I can really start using my gifts and investing in the church of God. Church, why wait on the greatest news that the world has ever known? Why wait and hold back and be tepid? Why use the excuses of the day for why I don't have to follow Jesus? Because here the excuse for Timothy is you're too young. And I know for some of us, we're going to look at our life and we're going to feel like, well, why would God use me with my laundry list of sins that lie in my background? Like, God can't use a person like me that's made all the mistakes that I've made. Listen, the guy that writes 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, was a pretty terrible human being before he came to Christ. He's a persecutor of the church. He was an accessory to murder. He was aggressive. He was self-righteous. And that was the guy that God called to go and plant the church. That's the guy that God is using right now to encourage Timothy. If God can use, in the worldly sense, a terrible person like that, God can use you. Or if you sit in here this morning, you think, man, I don't have any gifts or talents or abilities. I'm not a good public speaker. I can't get up and lead a worship team. I can't lead a small group. What can God do with me? God can do plenty for those who trust and rest in him. And I think for us, if God can call us from spiritual death to spiritual life, God can call us to go be the vessels of his glory and grace in our families, in our workplace, and in our community. Like, God is most present and his power is most made known in our weakness. Church, God is calling you to be the church of today. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Church, if you have trusted and rested in Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, your King, Ephesians chapter 1 says that you have been given this deposit in the person of the Holy Spirit, that he is planted within you, he is at work in you, and he will use you, but all he's calling us to do is to trust him. Stop waiting. Stop feeling like you don't measure up. Trust him with what God has for you now. Look to what God has for you in the days and weeks and years to come, but just trust him. Be the church of today. Don't wait to be the church of tomorrow. Second thing is this, is for you and I to both understand that it's like, as we're looking to what God is calling us to, like, you have a slew of God-given platforms that you can use right now. Second thing, you have a slew of God-given platforms that you can use right now. Paul lists them out. Paul lists them out to Timothy at the end of verse 12. He says, listen, set the example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. So first and foremost, it's like, how can God use me? How can God use me to show the world more of him? Because I'm not a preacher. I'm not like an overly vocal, Jesus-y type person. Like, how can God use me? Well, as we look at these five things, as we look at first, how can God use your speech? I mean, honestly, and this ties into the third thing we're going to talk about. Honestly, if you just want to be different in how you talk, just be nice. Like, everybody laughs because we know it's true. Like, we live in a culture of jerks. Like, everybody needs a dang hug. And it's like, we have the opportunity to be that. Like, we have the opportunity, as Christ encourages us, to be salt and light. Why can't we just season our speech with a little bit of salt? I mean, man, just how we refer to people, how we interact with people. Man, to see them as image bearers, to see them as somebody that God has formed in fashion in their mother's womb to display his glory in all the world. Why can't we just start with that? Like, for us, we have an incredible opportunity to be kind, but we also have an opportunity to share the hope that we have. Like, for us in Christ, the most selfish thing that we can do on the planet is to have the greatest news the world has ever known and to be quiet about it. We have a tremendous opportunity to point our family members, to point our coworkers, to point the other parents on our kids' ball team. We have an incredible opportunity to tell them about the hope that we know and the hope that we built our life on. Let's not be shy about that. And I mean, again, like, I know those conversations are hard. Like, I know those conversations don't always come up, but it's like, man, there are so many great on-ramps. I mean, just to talk about the small, like, graces of God in your life. Like, for me, y'all, in the past 2 years, I've flown 59 times in the past 2 years since COVID became a thing. Yesterday was the first time I didn't have to fly with a mask. Now, that's a blessing in and of itself, that I don't have to breathe my own, like, sweaty air, for 4 hours while I fly. But then the other thing for me is, like, you know, when I travel, I always have a backpack, and then, like, when I fly, I'll put my clothes in a duffel bag with a shoulder strap. Now, like, my backpack, I can't get it up to my shoulder unless I use my teeth. So it's like, I'll grab it with my teeth, I'll throw it on the shoulder, and then I can flick it on the other shoulder. Same with the duffel bag. For me to put it on my shoulder, I've got to grab it for a second with my teeth, throw it up on my shoulder. Let me tell you how incredibly hard it is to do that with a mask on your face. Like, it's problematic, you know, shall we say. And man, for me yesterday, for the first time in 2 years, to, like, just very subconsciously, I didn't even realize what was happening, but grab my backpack, throw it on there, to grab my duffel bag and be like, that was amazing. Like, this, what is life? You know, it was just like this moment where it was like this great aha moment. Such a small little measure of grace. But man, even in that moment to say thank you, God, or even in that moment, like, I was getting ready to get on the plane. I threw my backpack on. I looked over at this guy beside me. I was like, did you see that? Because, man, it's been a struggle for the past 2 years, bro. And he was like, oh, yeah. Like, he was so confused. But it's like, for us, man, those good God-given moments when he shows up and encourages us. Or in a man talking with a lady in the back, you know, right before service started, to hear about how God has kindly provided for her in the midst of her need just through two checks that came in the mail. Man, why can't we have more conversations like that? Man, just talking about the goodness and the grace and the kindness of God to the people that we come around. Use your speech to show the world more of him. Second thing is this, is that in your conduct, man, set the example for the believers in your conduct. Just the way I carry myself, the way I live my life, the way that the rest of my 6.5 days play out ought to show that Jesus is king. What you do on Sunday morning should not be the only evidence that Jesus is king of your life. Y'all, our worship starts when we leave these double doors here in a minute. What we did, like, corporately a few moments ago, like, as we sang corporately, this is an aspect of worship, but it does not include all of our worship. Paul says, Romans chapter 12, your one acceptable form of worship is to offer up your life as a living sacrifice. So my challenge to you today is that as you leave this place, do you live in such a way that Jesus is king, Jesus is known in your life? Or is my only opportunity to be around and reflect Jesus when I get to this address on Sunday mornings? Let your life show who Jesus is. Third thing is this is set the believers an example in love. Like, listen, we just talked about it, man. The world's full of jerks. Like, if you want to, in all honesty, if you want to be the most countercultural person you know, be kind and loving. Be kind and loving. Because this culture wants to blot people out, shut people up, and cancel them at any opportunity and excuse. And for us as believers, for us who know and trust in and rest in the gospel of God's grace, if there's anybody who should be gracious and kind and long-suffering and loving, it's us. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death and even death on a cross. Jesus sets the example of what it means to serve and to love, and that in humility, man, to win his church unto himself, to rescue and redeem his people. That's our example of how we love. And y'all, for me, it's like, as I look at the people in my life that have had the greatest influence on me, there are a slew of men who have influenced me in how I preach and in how I lead and how I shepherd, but there is one human being that has influenced me how to love, and it was my grandma. My grandma, man, we buried her 2 years ago, and I remember me and my cousin, who we were both pastors, we led her service, and as we're talking to all of our other family members, you know, we just wanted to get the stories and, you know, get our facts right, and, you know, we asked everybody, man, what's the things that stood out to you? We called her Nanny. You know, what are the things that stood out about Nanny to you? First thing, everybody, to a person, talk to all 24 cousins. She can cook. Bro, like, she could cook, man. Like, you showed up Thanksgiving and Christmas, you were going to get fed incredibly well. But the second thing was this. She was the kindest woman I ever met. To a cousin, every single one of us. She was literally the nicest person. And I mean, it wasn't just to us. It was to her community. I mean, in the late 50s, her and my grandpa, her husband, they're looking around in their rural part of Virginia where they lived, and they didn't see a Bible-believing presence. So they got a few families together, started a prayer meeting in their house, and truthfully, they planted a church right there in their house, a church that is now over 1,000 members in the center part of Virginia, all because Grandma and Grandpa wanted to love their community well. And to see, not only does she have, you know, grandkids that love the Lord, daughters that love the Lord, grandsons that are preachers, all of that because she loved Jesus and she loved other people and she wasn't shy about it. That's the impact a loving person can make. That's not going to get tweeted about a bunch. That's not going to make any newspaper articles. But that's how you leave a legacy. That's how you leave a legacy that changes the world, when you don't make your life about you, but you make it about Christ and about other people. Because that's pretty much though how Jesus summarizes the law. For us, love well. Love the Lord. Love others and watch what God does. Fourth thing is this, is set the believers an example in faith. set the believers an example in faith. And I think for us, in so many ways, that just comes with like pursuing Christ regardless of my circumstances. That it's like, God, I might not know what's next for you seniors. You might not know what the next 4 years of schooling or the next 4 years of life are going to look like. But it's like, in faith, God, I'm going to trust you with that. And I'm going to trust you with tomorrow. I'm going to trust you with today. God, whatever it is, I'm going to chase you. If it's hard, if it's good, whatever the case, God, I'm in and I trust you. That's what faith is, y'all. Sometimes trusting in seasons of plenty and ease and joy, that's easy. But how do we chase Jesus when things are hard? How do we chase Jesus when it doesn't feel like he listens, when it doesn't feel like he's there, when it doesn't feel like he loves us? That's where the faith comes to play. That's where in the gift of faith that God gives us, we trust in and rest in. And Jesus says in John 15, just abide in me. Just wrap up your life in me and just watch how I have your back. The last thing is this: set the believers an example in purity. Timothy's culture was pretty much so sexually obsessed. I mean, there were temples on every corner. There were all sorts of vices and terrible things that you could pursue at just your heart's whim. Well, you know what? That sure sounds like the culture that we live in today. We don't have temples, but we do have phones. We do have technology. We do have a culture that's rewriting the books on sex itself. Like, for us as believers, I think to continually and biblically pursue just what is faithfully laid out in Scripture, to speak to that, but to live to that as well, to live as different, to live as people set apart, as holy and sanctified by God. It is our opportunity to not only set the example for the believers, but to set the example for the culture. And so, third thing I want us to see is this, and this is Paul's last challenge to Timothy in what we read. Don't neglect the gift you have. Don't neglect the gift that you have. Each and every person in this room, you got a gift. You might not see it. But I mean, biblically, there are so many gifts. Like, you can have the gift of faith, you can have the gift of service, you can have the gift of leadership, of administration. I think a lot of us think of, if we can't preach and we can't speak, then we don't have a gift. You do. And I mean, truthfully, if we are in Christ, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have the gift of eternal life, we have the gift of joy, we have the gifts of the fruits of the Spirit that are present in our life, and sometimes we just have to be willing to present those to the world and just watch God work. And y'all, sometimes that will happen in the craziest of ways. Man, for me, a few years ago, when my first book released, for some odd reason, Fox News just wanted me to write an article about just like being armless and loving Jesus. It was a really weird like writing prompt, shall we say? But I was like, okay, I'll write it. And so I wrote it, and they published it, and it was really cool to like, I don't know, God clearly just touched a nerve through my story, and I started to get all this feedback. And I got this one email, and at first I thought I was being catfished, because the email starts off, "Hey, my name's James, I'm the lead singer of this band called Metallica." And I'm going, "No, you're not. Like, you're a liar." Because, like, for me, I came to Christ as a teenager, and in my pre-Jesus days, I was a pretty big Metallica fan, if I'm being totally honest. My middle school self might have had a moment, you know, reading this email. And at first I was like, nah, this ain't real. But it was like, in the email, it was like, "Hey, I'm James. Really liked your article, man. That was cool. That was encouraging." He's like, you really got me thinking about some stuff. He's like, would you like to meet up at one of our shows, and we'll just sit and talk before the concert?" I'm like, "Yeah, right, gonna meet up at the show." I was like, "Oh yeah, sure, here's my cell phone number." I kid you not, 4 minutes later, I get a call from Los Angeles, California, and it was like, "Hey, Mr. Hetfield reached out and told us that you're gonna come to one of the shows. How do we make this happen?" I was like, "Oh, okay, let's do this." And so, man, the time comes, and you know, the concert, and like my little middle school emotions are welling up. I'm like, "I'm gonna meet him," you know, like, little kid moment. But it was wild, because I mean, we just like sat in the green room, him and the whole band, and like I just sat there and talked with him, and he just had so many questions. Here's a guy that's not a believer, very clearly not a believer, but he had so many questions around like identity, authenticity, relationships, love, all from the lens of Scripture. And here I am in this moment, like sharing the gospel with the lead singer of Metallica, going, I don't even know why I'm here right now, Lord. Like, I don't think I'm like the most qualified person for this moment. But it's like God in His grace allowed it to happen. God in His grace, all He did was just simply use my story and His grace in my life to present the gospel to a man that was very much so lost and in need of the hope that Jesus had. Now, did he pray to receive Christ that night? No. Were there gospel seeds planted? Absolutely. And so for you in your life, how can God leverage your story, your past, His grace evident in your life? How can you share that with the people that you love the most, with the people that you encounter? Like, your story has weight. Your story has power because God's present in it. Don't be shy about sharing that story. Don't neglect the gift that God has in both your story and His grace in it. Man, know that God can use you without excuse. And He's just asking you to trust Him. And so this morning, what does that look like? Like, some of y'all sitting in here, like, you've been on Team Jesus for a while, like, you've been chasing Him, but is God calling you to more? Is God calling you to be less safe and to pursue things that are hard, that are difficult, that are scary? And some of us in here this morning, have we built our life upon the person and work of Jesus Christ? Have we trusted and rested in Him as our everything, as our Savior, our Lord, our hope? And now hear me out. If you need somebody to pray with, if you want somebody to tell you what it looks like to see Jesus as your everything, as your Savior and your Lord and your greatest hope, Pastor Paul will be up here, man. He would love nothing more than to just take you by the hand, pray over you. And if you just need somebody to pray with, likewise, your pastor's up here. If you just need to quietly pray, come up here before the Lord and commit to not neglect what God has given you, but to show the world more of Him through the grace that He's given you. I ask you to use that time, man. Just know that you have complete and total freedom here in this time. Let's pray. God, thank You so incredibly much for Your grace, for Your kindness, for Your work. God, I thank You so much that in spite of our excuses, in spite of our limitations, that God, You desire to rescue and redeem us. You desire to send us out and use us. And God, this morning, I pray we would just faithfully trust in that plan. We would faithfully trust in that work, knowing that You are good, knowing that You have a plan for us to come and a plan for us right now. And God, I just pray we're faithful to chase after both. I pray we're faithful to show the world more of You now, and to seek out ways that we can do it in the days and weeks to come. Father, we thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.